This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message for Mother's Day is presented by Sister Jean DeSalvio and is entitled, The Woman at the Well.
Thank you. I think every word that was said this morning about moms was so heartfelt, and we are blessed in so many ways by our mothers. I hope you're enjoying your Mother's Day so far. It's not an easy day for a lot of people. We've been treated to some very special presentations this morning, and I appreciate every one of you and all of your contributions so very much. On the day that we set aside to honor our mothers, I'd like to honor my mother briefly. Sylve Andreessen Fitzgerald was her name. And she was a huge supporter of all of her children getting a good education. Big shock, right? I've heard some people say about me, is she ever going to stop going to school? I've heard that. She instilled this value in me and in my siblings. And even though the events of my adolescent and early adult life took me in many different directions, resulting in my dropping out of college many times, I always went back. I finally graduated from Hunter College at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden on June 4th, 1974. And I wasn't alone. Besides the thousands of other graduates and their families, I was expecting Lauren, who was born 7 days later on June 11th. I must say I cut quite a figure in my graduation gown. It almost didn't fit. But for many years, Lauren told me she didn't have to go to college because she already graduated, albeit in the womb. But I've learned that there are really many types of education, and one of the greatest ones I and my family ever received was when our family moved out of Brooklyn, New York, to Delaware Township in 1979. And some of you know this story, and some of you don't. But city slickers, as we thought we were going to clear the land on our farm on Dunker Church Road. We were going to grow Christmas trees, and we were going to raise animals. Despite our best efforts, our sheep ate the trees we planted. Sadly, they were attacked by dogs, our sheep. We had trouble keeping our animals inside our fence consistently, and we were visited by the local fire department and police when I started a fire to clear multiflora, but it got a little out of control. Oh yes, those were the days. Not. Thank God I had the resources of farmers around here, people who grew up on a farm. I had to call Susie one night when Bob was out of town on business because there was a possum in one of our barn stalls, and I didn't know what to do. I had to get the animals in. She was prepared with her pitchfork. I don't know what else you had on, but by the time she got there, the possum ran away. Anyway, we decided to build our new house on Lambert Road, and we learned that we had to dig a well. That was another new experience for us. I don't think they have wells in Brooklyn. I never really studied it. All I knew was that water was always readily available. I never thought about where it came from. Bob actually gave me a little lesson on that yesterday. He told me about reservoirs and underground pipes. You never thought about it. But I have learned that wells really are a big deal. The day our well was dug up here on Lambert Road, Harold Sutphin came by to watch it being dug. I didn't get it. Like, why would somebody do that? But he was a farmer who knew much better than me the importance of a source of water. And he was real happy that day. He said we had a good supply. If you don't have a source of water, life can become very short very quickly. And if you don't have the right source of the right kind of water, things can get ugly very quickly. Just ask the people of Flint, Michigan, and all that's been going on out there. So this is an introduction to our lesson of the morning, the account of the woman at the well found in John chapter 4. I was trying to get us to relate to it somehow, the woman at the well. And I'm going to ask Margaret if she would just read the first six verses of that chapter 4, John chapter 4.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus came and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not with his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then coming to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey,
thank you. So these verses in the beginning of this chapter give us a context. We get some geography. We hear about some ethnic tensions that we're going to learn about further in the chapter, which led to hatred and the Savior's rejection of these feelings. I'm sure you've already noticed the abundance and variety of hatred that there is in this world. Whether it's Samaritans versus Jews, Muslims versus Hindus, animosity between different races, the Hatfields and the McCoys, and right on down to the personal level of hatred between individuals. There are plenty of examples. Most of us are aware that there's an antidote to hatred, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he must be applied to the situation. Because when we're on our own, hatred seems to come naturally to a lot of people. You can get a background from your study Bibles on the basis of the hatred mentioned here in the fourth chapter of John, but it is unfortunately a very common occurrence. So in verse 7, I will try to jump back and forth and read quickly. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. She was shocked. There were so many reasons why he shouldn't have said a word to her. She was a Samaritan. She knew about the hatred and discord between those groups of people. Plus, he's speaking to a woman. How could he do that? Wasn't culturally proper. But the more you get to know Jesus, the more you know those things are not part of his repertoire, if you will. He's above hatred. He loved the Samaritans, he loved the Jews, he loves everybody. So yeah, no problem for him to go through Samaria, sit down, ask a woman for water. This was a divine appointment on this day when the woman met Jesus at the well. Did you ever have a day when something totally unexpected, unusual, and great happened to you? I think you could probably come up with something. I think of the day Art Robertson, an insurance salesman, somehow he was in my living room in our home in Brooklyn, and he was trying to sell my parents insurance, but he was a born-again Christian. And in the process of doing his job, he told them about Word of Life summer camp up in the Adirondack Mountains, and my parents decided to send me and some of my siblings to that camp. Well, that's where I received Christ. And my life was changed from that day. I don't think I ever would have met you, Bob. And so forth. So here's a woman in chapter 4 going about her daily business, a routine trip to the well. And who does she meet there? Now that must have been something. And she didn't even know it for a while. It was truly a divine appointment. And we have them. I know you have them in your lives. We're also taught about the importance of water. We had a praise song about spring up, oh well. We had a accompanying music about something in the water. There was a theme today for me about water and the importance of water. Like most of us, this woman was a seeker. As human beings, we are usually in search of something. Sometimes we're seeking food. Sometimes we're looking for a job, a home, a project, some information, or some kind of an answer. In this scene with the woman at the well, there's really a functional aspect of her search, and that is the importance, it shows the importance and centrality of water. I don't have a scientific orientation Okay, but you could say so much about water if you were a scientist. And even without being a scientist, I mean, we needed to live. How much a percentage of us are water, is water? We needed to live. We need to keep hydrated. We cleanse with water. We cook with water. We swim in water. That's important to me. I don't know about you. Travel is through water many times. Relaxation, it's a food source. It's a very important aspect of life. And this meeting, this encounter between this woman and Jesus had a lot to do with water initially. But there's more. This account in verses 7 through 10 goes from the quest to sustaining everyday life, which we all are involved in, to spiritual and eternal realities. In verses 7 through 10, we read, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Whoa, so there's something more important than water, the physical water you can draw from a well? Oh yes, oh yes. And she was about to see this as the exchange between them goes on. And she, as most of us, was very preoccupied by our daily struggles, our daily quests. And it is important. I mean, we have to take care of certain things. You not only have to feed and give shelter to yourselves, if you're a parent, you have to provide for your children and other people who you may have some responsibility for. So it's human to worry about our human struggles, but there was a lot more to come as this exchange and encounter continued. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And what we learn from that is that while water satisfies our physical thirst, living water given by God satisfies the thirst of our souls, our spiritual needs, and it is to be desired even more than physical water. A lot of people don't get that. I think many people here took the time to come here this morning and sit and listen. We know the truth of that. Yes, we desperately need water, physical water, but even more than that, we need the living water that Christ gives. So the woman in verse 11, she continues with her earthly concerns. "Sir, thou hast not," she says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. How are you going to give me living water?" She can't figure it out. "And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and says to her, "Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And that knowledge and that realization makes all the difference in the world to people. Because as humans, you can pursue anything and everything, and we do. We go for education. We go for fame. We look for love. We want fulfillment. We want approval. But without that living water that comes through Christ, you're missing out. And you may have a great life here, and in America we are so blessed, but some people miss the boat with the living water that Christ offers. You know, this woman is going to come to redemption. She's going to receive redemption, and I would recommend that you read this chapter at another time, because there's a lot here, and I'm mindful of the time, and I want you to get on to your celebrations today. But she will receive redemption, And I'm trusting that many of us here have received redemption. People love that concept, whether it's on a secular level or a spiritual level. I don't know how many people might have seen the movie The Martian. We saw that recently. It's a really good movie. But it's a story of redemption, more on a secular level. But people find that experience so amazing to be part of. And the most important redemption, of course, is that comes through Christ. Also, there was a restoration aspect to this story in The Woman at the Well. On May 1st, Our Daily Bread, that little booklet magazine that we have, had a meditation entitled The Restoration Business. I love the reading because often in life, we really struggle with the things we have lost. But when we come to the living water, He brings restoration to our lives. It can be in the form of comfort, of peace, and assurance that all things work to good, together for good, even when they hurt us to our very core. He is loving and totally generous. In her talk on Thursday night at the National Day of Prayer service we had here at Amwell, Vita told us she was getting ready to photograph a rainbow that was very meaningful to her. And what happened when she looked at her photo? There were two rainbows, one of which she didn't even see with her naked eye, but the camera had picked it up, and there it was. Just speaks to the generosity and abundance in God. And there are lots of things that go on that we can't see, but that doesn't mean that God isn't working behind the scenes to accomplish His purposes and bring us blessings and answers and meaning. So in closing, on this Mother's Day, I don't know if this woman at the well had any children. The Bible doesn't say, but she definitely had a mother. And hopefully our mothers have taught us and will continue to teach us some of the truths we can learn from this meeting between Jesus and this woman. We don't have to let hatred dominate our thoughts and our actions. We can receive redemption through Christ. We can experience the restoration He can bring to our lives. That woman left her water pot at the well and ran out to tell others in the city all that Christ had done and said. And we can certainly share Him with others, as our youth group leaders do, our businessmen and women in this congregation do, as our laborers in the church do. Whatever your position is, I have heard so many stories and testimonies of how you've come across somebody in your daily walk and shared Christ with them. Thus endeth the lesson. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for the blessing of our mothers. I thank You for the blessing of this congregation where we can honor them and talk about them together. Just help us, Lord, whatever we are, because we have a lot of men here today who support their mothers, love their mothers, have learned from their mothers. We just look to You this day, Lord, to continue to bless us and help us to become more and more like You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.